Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we're now on chapter 27 of Kitab al-Riqaq. And this is, of course, our second day covering the book, but we're on chapter 27 because, obviously, last year we covered up to chapter 25, and yesterday we did 26. This chapter, chapter 27, is titled Bab Qawl al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Law ta'lamuna ma a'lamu la dhahiktum qalila wa la bakaytum kathira. This is the chapter titled on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much. This chapter is short. There's only two hadith in this chapter. The first hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah says, حدثنا يحيى ابن بكير حدثنا الليث عن عقيل عن ابن شهاب عن سعيد ابن المسيب أن أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه كان يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. So he narrates from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu the same statement that's in the chapter heading, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, if you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much. Now we do not know what all the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows. So our state is such that we are veiled from much of what was unveiled to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's a bit of an understatement. Now the next hadith adds to this, and there's some context. He says, حَدَّثَنَا سُلَيْمَانِ إِبْنُ حَرْبِ حَدَّثَنَا شُعْبَ عَنْ مُوسَى إِبْنِ أَنَسِ عَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. This is from Anas radiallahu anhu, who relates exactly the same words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what we see here is Imam al-Bukhari is putting two hadith with the exact same wording, but one is from Abu Huraira and one is from Sayyiduna Anas. If you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much. Now, this is not to say that these are the only two hadith that mention this phrase. In fact, there is another riwayah in the Mu'jam al-Awsat of Imam al-Tabarani. And this narration in al-Tabarani's collection is hadithun da'if. It is a weak narration. But nevertheless, the scholars mentioned it because the weakness was not severe. And the other narration in Tabarani gives some context to this statement. And it gives us the impression that the statement, if you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much, was actually said among other things, and there was a story behind it. So in that narration in Tabarani, it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the masjid one day, and some of the companions were joking around and laughing. And then he said this, if you knew what I know, you would laugh little and weep much. And it said that after he said this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was met by the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, who said to him that Allah says, why do you sadden my servants? Why do you sadden them? Why do you say this in a way that's going to make them feel really bad? Because we laugh and we play and we joke around. Nothing haram about that, but it could be to an excess. And after this was said to him by the angel Jibreel, he went back to the companions. And he said his famous words, also in Bukhari, Saddidu wa abshiru, meaning be moderate in your path and be of good cheer, receive glad tidings. So he's And this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general. He was not just warning people, he's also giving glad tidings. He's not just mentioning the things that induce fear He's also mentioning the things that induce hope. So the greater point from this is that laughter is not haram, joking is not haram, being somewhat playful at times is not haram, but the Prophet ﷺ was always trying to bring them up to higher states and bring them to have a deeper understanding of ultimate realities. And we've said a few times before that these narrations do not mean that we should be always looking sour and dour and sad and depressed, always with a frown on our faces. Because, you see, Islam is a holistic path. And the path of Islam is never about just taking one or two narrations while ignoring the others, right? When you come to a legal ruling, for instance, as a faqih, if you are trained in fiqh, you're not just taking one or two narrations and giving a ruling. You're trying to get all of the narrations to get a holistic picture so that you arrive at the sound ruling. You have to reconcile between different proof texts. This is what the usulis call ta'arud al-adilla. When there seems to be some contradiction, what do you do? Do you take a set of narrations and use them and throw out the others? Or do you take those others and throw out these? You don't do either. You take the two together and you do tarjih. Right? That's when there appears to be a contradiction. There's no contradiction here. Because as we mentioned a few days ago, the hadith described the Prophet ﷺ as simultaneously da'imul bishr wa da'imul ahzan. One of constant, you could say, cheerfulness, and also he was in a state of constant sorrow. How do you bring those two together? Doesn't that seem to be a contradiction? It's like saying someone is constantly happy and constantly sad. How could you be that at the same time? And the answer is that it is possible when you understand that the cheerfulness, the joyfulness and the sorrow, these are not just related to worldly things. It's about the hereafter. That you can be simultaneously happy and joyful over the blessings of Allah and joyful over the promises of Allah that He's given you in the Quran, that the promises that the Prophet ﷺ has given us in the Sunnah, while at the same time being aware of the divine threats in the Quran and the prophetic threats in the Hadith. And when your focus is oriented towards the Akhirah, you can actually have both at the same time. Where I'm going to be cheerful, for the most part, in my interactions with people. I'm going to be joyous over Allah's blessings, but I'm also aware that this is not all there is. I'm also aware that the blessings I receive are also a responsibility, that they're also a test, that I'm also asked about those blessings, and that there should be a concern for the end as we leave this world and the afterworldly accounting. So you bring these two together. And you see in this hadith that's recorded by Tabarani and others, that although it's weak, the idea is there's a balancing of the two. And this is why the early generations, they would never start off by mentioning the good things or the things that inspire hope and then end on mentioning the things that are frightening, right? Because you have khawf and raja, fear and hope. They would always mention, if they gave a sermon or a reminder, they would always mention hellfire first or the frightening things first, and then they would mention the narrations that inspire hope last, because you want to end on a positive note. Because even if those things are frightening, you have a merciful Lord. And Allah Ta'ala, who is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, whose rahmah wasi'at kulla shay, encompasses all things, is the one who also warns us. But you have to be balanced. So this touches on a broader principle, right? Muslims often, you know, they want to become literate in their religion, and they want to understand the guidance of Allah in the Quran and the Hadith, and they sometimes fixate on some aspects of divine guidance while either being ignorant of or skipping over the other aspects. And they come with a skewed idea of what we're supposed to take on. It's the balance of fear and hope. It's the balance between being joyful and cheerful and also being cautious, also being mindful of that which should induce some fear and worry, and having them balanced in just the right way. And this has always been a topic of discussion among the ulama. If you have ayat and ahadith that inspire fear, and that's a positive quality, fear of Allah, and you have ayat and hadith that inspire hope, and hope is a positive quality, how should you balance them? What does that look like? So some of the ulama said that when you're young and you're full of energy, and you have the energy and the capacity and the pull to fulfill your desires, right? For example, a young man. Some of them said that, no, janibul khawf, the side of fear should slightly outweigh the hope. And some said that when you're at an older state, an older age, we're at, you know, nearing the end of your life, then janibul raja, the side of hope should outweigh, because you don't have the same level of energy or desire to engage in those haram things. So hope should overweigh. However, others said, no. Others said no. They said, this presumes that you know how long you're going to live. Think about that. It's assuming that, oh, I'm going to live for a long time, so now because I'm still young, I'm going to have fear outweigh hope. Some of the ulama said no. You should make sure that with every inhalation, you inhale with a feeling of hope and have a good opinion of Allah, because you don't know if that's your last one. At any rate, there's no ultimate contradiction. The idea is that we're balanced, that although we have times of joy, we're also mindful of the things that induce some fear. And if we feel the things that are fear-inducing, we also don't forget the things that inspire hope. If you only take to one, you're going to go astray. If you only have hope, you become reliant on that to the point where you neglect the obligations of Allah. You do the haram and you're like, Allahu ghafur rahim. Right? You know, some people have that attitude. But if you take the side of fear and it outweighs the hope to the point of there being very little or no hope, then you have another problem. Adiyatsu min rahmatillah, despairing or being despondent, feeling that you have no hope of receiving Allah's mercy. And that is blameworthy. Allah mentions in more than one place in the Quran that no one despairs of Allah's mercy except those who are disbelievers and those who are losers. So it's always about balancing between things. Sometimes fear is more important in the moment. Sometimes hope is more important than the moment. It's a very big topic. And ultimately, we rely on Allah's rahmah, right? And this is why Ibn Ata'illah says, مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ الْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ نُقْصَانُ الرَّجَاءِ عِنْدَ وُجُودِ الزَّلَلِ. The sign that you're relying on your actions is that you lose hope when you have a slip. If you have a slip, you fall into a sin and you become despondent and lose hope in Allah's rahmah, which is open to everybody, even the sinners, that's a sign that you're actually relying on your actions and not relying on Allah Ta'ala. Your actions are created. Allah gives you the actions as gifts. If you rely on them though, and you think that's the only thing that matters, and you're relying on them, well, when you're lacking in them, you're going to start losing hope. But if you know that the actions are gifts from Allah, and ultimately entering Jannah is about Allah's rahmah, if you slip, you make tawbah, but you're not going to become despondent and think, I'm just doomed forever. There's always a balance. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.